So we have two classes delta I think. So this class we will discuss mostly in the concept, what is the delta I field and how the study about the protein that are related. And next class we will discuss about how delta I field is deregulated in a cancer cell. So today I will discuss what are the different stages of delta I field and how cell cycle is regulated by different proteins, for example cyclin, cyclin dependent kinases, and inhibitor of cyclin dependent kinases, and also by ETF and RB phosphate. So as you all know, there are six major cancer hallmarks, and one of the hallmarks is a sustaining proliferative syndrome in cancer. So that means they continue to get signal and they can cancer cells continue to proliferate. So that is why cell cycle proliferation is very important topic in cancer. So in addition to there are two other emerging hallmarks, and these you will learn in other classes. And because cell cycle is very important, they also, one of the drug has been developed that this will inhibit these kinases so that they can stop proliferating, and that can be used for anti-cancer drug. So, what is cell cycle? So, cell cycle is cell growth and cell division. So, in combination of cell growth and division, constitutes cell cycle. And the cell cycle phenomenon is related by a clock. So there is no specific clock per se, but this is kind of a, you can say, a concept that basically within cells, kind of the sense for the signal. So this, whether this is growth factor receptor signaling, or this also monitored as genomic integrity, or TGF beta receptor signaling, or various other signaling that basically comes in one place and then cells decide whether they want to undergo the quiescent state, like D0 state, or they want to enter cell cycle state. So once they decide, so this can go to either, so depending upon the signal, there are various signals here, depending upon the signal, cells decide to enter to quiescent state. Our cell decide, depending upon if you have more mitogenic signal, they become dominant. Cells decide to enter to active cell cycle. And when it enters to active cell cycle, this can basically undergo various signaling events that leads to cell growth and cell division. And in that also you want different kind of signaling that we are going to discuss in this. So we have various stages in cell cycle. For example, when cells decide to become quiescent and cells do not enter to cell cycle, they become quiescent and call degeneration. And if there is enough mitogenic signal that allows cells to enter to active cell cycle phase, and then there are various stages in cell cycle like G1 stage, synthesis stage, so guide phase 1, synthesis stage, and guide phase 2, and mitosis stage. So in G1 synthesis and G2 phase, cells undergo various processes and then ultimately have incorporated all the changes, and that ultimately go to mitosis phase where cells divide in two. And immediately after dividing, cells, one cell becomes two, and then again the next process starts whether cells want to enter to cell cycle or continue to or go to quiescent state. So this cycle continues to kind of comes in every division. Once you have division, then again there is a decision stage here whether cells need to go to quiescent state or cells need to go to active cell cycle state. So, if cells decide to enter to active cell cycle state, then in G1 phase, it calls preparation for DNA replication. So that means in this phase, cells
accumulate all the required material, macromolecule material, that is important for cells to initiate DNA replication.
So this stage is very important. This stage decides whether cells have enough resources to undergo cell cycle or not. So once they have synthesized all the requirements and prepared all the elements, and then they enter through synthesis stage.
In synthesis stage, they have the DNA get replicated,
so that when there is sufficient DNA replicated, and then that goes to again preparatory phase. In this stage, again cell acquire a lot of macromolecules, including protein, and that ultimately decide whether cells want to go to the next stage, that is mitosis stage. And if cells decide to go to mitosis stage, then they get the chromatic DNA that is synthesized here will be divided into two parts, and then the cells divide into two parts. So ultimately, one cell become two cells, and that will complete one cell cycle. This process takes, depending upon cell type to cell type, can take somewhere between 12 to 18, 20 hours. So majority of time takes on that G1 phase, that's around maybe 7 to 8 hours. 1 or 2 hours you have been in the replication phase, and then 4 or 5 hours you have that 2 phase, and this one is the very fast decision, because by this time cells have already decided to have all the accumulated, all the requirement, and ultimately decide to disjoint. So at this stage is fast stage with all these stages.
So now once cells divide, it has option to go to quiescent stage or intercell active cell cycle. If cells decide to active cell cycle, it does not just go cell cycle, active cell cycle. It basically needs a lot of signaling that takes place. Let's say if there is enough growth factor addition, that can be endogenous synthesis of growth factor, or that can be extracellular, that means you provide enough growth factor and then cells divide, cells decide to undergo cell cycle. So in this stage, you require certain amount, certain time of continued addition of growth factor, mitogenic signal. And when they have sufficient resources to go to intercell cycle, then you don't need growth factor initially. So that means the time that is required to decide whether cells want to go to the rest of the cell cycle field, this really is called decision point. So that means now, even if you withdraw the growth factor, cells will continue to complete all the process. So that means if you have sufficient growth factor up to this point, and then you remove growth factor, it does not matter whether you have growth factor or not, cells will enter to synthesis phase, G2 phase, and mitosis phase, and complete cell cycle. So therefore, the decision point is very critical for cells to undergo different phase of cell cycle. So once cells decide to go to different phases of cell cycle, there is various check and balances in cells. In the sense that, let's say for example, in this case, cells go in mostly cell growth phase. That means they are kind of accumulating required amount of protein and other resources that is required for them to replicate, to initiate DNA replication. So that means at this stage, there can be various stress that can be endogenous stress or can be exogenous stress. And this stress can damage DNA. Or this can also cause defect in other molecules, including protein, that can actually lead to defects in cell cycle procedure. So let's say, for example, at this stage, if there is damage to DNA, it will not undergo next phase, unless this damage is repaired. So that means in G1 phase, if there is no damage, then only cells undergo to next phase, synthesis. Similarly, you have also checkpoint in DNA in the synthesis phase. So during replication, either there is damage to DNA, either by replication process, or there is long incorporation of DNA molecule,
that will lead to DNA damage, genomic instability.
That will be checked here, and if there is no damage, are there no misincorporation, are there no any other abnormalities in DNA, then only we will go to G2 phase. So like this, similarly, you have again here, you have a G2 phase. So whatever DNA you have synthesized here, they are, the DNA integrity is completely maintained, then only cells will undergo to mitosis phase.
So in mitosis phase, you have various phase as well, like cells have a prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase. So in all these phases, you have a DNA chromosome basically divide in two, become chromatic, and they have to be arranged in spindle formation so that they can be separated and make two cells.
If there is defect in this process, they also checkpoint here, and the cells will stop right there,
because cells don't want to incorporate any damage to next generation.
So that is why they have adapted various checkpoints during the cell cycle, so that they can avoid any kind of genomic instability to next cell. Okay, so now here again we have discussed that very early, especially before entering to synthesis stage, you have DNA damage checkpoint, and in transit, S cell will be blocked if genome is damaged. Similarly, in synthesis stage, if DNA replication is not completely error-free, this will be halted here. And similarly, in this case, if you have replication, defect in replication process, or you can say misincorporation of the DNA that could lead to genomic instability, that will stop here. And synthesis, again here, if there is defect in assembly of the chromatic molecule, that will also lead to the stop at this level. So like this, there was a checkpoint, and of course, DNA damage can happen due to exogenous causes, like for example, ionizing radiation, and various chemicals, or even chemotherapeutic agents that could lead to double stranded break in the DNA. This can also lead, DNA can also be damaged by endogenous molecule, like for example, free radicals, that is mostly synthesized in the mitochondrial compartment, and also you have other activities inside cells that could lead to break or double stranded break in the DNA, and that could lead to damage, and that could basically stop cell cycle. And so once there is DNA damage, then activate the various option after DNA damage that can undergo repair. So once this is repaired, cells will enter again, continue cell cycle. If this is not repaired, cell basically will be halted in that phase. This can, and if there is incorrect repair and ultimately cells are not able to find out that ultimately will lead to incorporation of incorrect genomic DNA, and that will lead to genomic instability, and finally will lead to carcinogenesis. And this could also lead to basically activation of cell death pathway, and that could remove this cell. So there are various checkpoints that could happen, and this is very common. DNA damage is very, you can say, common, because DNA is a very large molecule. So even there are various checkpoints, various repair system, still DNA could can get damaged, and that could lead to incorporation of damaged DNA, and that could lead to carcinogenesis. Okay, so once there is a damage to DNA, this can be double stranded break, and this could lead to two fragments of chromosome, and that they can either rejoin, they become stick. Once DNA have double stranded break, that creates very sticky end, and this can rejoin to original configuration, and then there is no problem. But if the damaged DNA that is double stranded break fails to rejoin, and then it leads to deletion of DNA fragments. And if the broken is joined into wrong, even the chromosome, and that will ultimately lead to genomic instability. And this DNA break and rejoining can have some any phase of self-psyche. So there is a DNA damage. Let's say, for example, this is your chromosome, and if there is damage at this portion, and if this and the damage here, if these two chromosomes join together, then you have dicentric chromosome. So here you have two dicentric, two centrioles, and you have dicentric chromosome. And you also create something acentric chromosome, like if this segment does not have a centromere, that doesn't lead to acentric chromosome. This could also lead to like this one, for example, this fragment can rejoin this to lead to circular condition. So overall, there is so many you can say condition can happen that could lead to deletion, inversion, translocation, and then dicentric condition, and these ultimately will affect genome structure and function. So let's imagine that you already have completed DNA synthesis and there is no damage to DNA and cells decide to undergo cell cycle process. So again, this process requires a lot of changes, a lot of signaling that is very highly coordinated in order to complete cell cycle. And there are various proteins, for example, cyclins. So these cyclins are very important molecules. And they are cyclin B1, cyclin E, cyclin A, and cyclin B. And each specific cyclin are associated with certain phases of cell cycle. So these are phases, let's say for example, this G1 phase, and then here you have the system point, and then the synthesis stage, G2, M, and then G1. So if you look at the different cyclins, you can see that at G1 phase, you have mostly cyclin B1. So cyclin B1 is a high level, and after certain times, there is no requirement of cyclin B, and then cyclin B goes down and comes back again to G1. So there is a kind of need at certain phase, and after that, the cyclins, the radius are the normal synthesized, and they come back again when they get next cell cycle. Similarly, you have cyclin B that requires at late G1 phase and M phase, and then again it come back again later at this phase. So basically, like this, you have the other cyclins that will appear at different stages of cell cycle and ultimately take part in the process. So here, again, you can see cyclin B, how oscillate different phases of cell cycle. Okay. So here then, once there is a decision to enter the cell cycle, there is a period when you need growth factor, and that point is called the system point. And once you cross the system point, cells are committed to complete cell cycle. So we talk about cyclins. Cyclin function is also regulated by, so cyclin and the cyclin dependent kinases, they form a complex. So you can say there are two different group of proteins called cyclin dependent kinases. And these are CDK4, CDK6, 2, and 1. And these are the serine threonine kinases, and they require cyclin binding. So that means for CDK4 and 6, on other CDK, they bind with cyclin to perform different phases of cell cycle. So here, for example, this activation means they require various stages of phosphorylation. And the function of cyclin CDK is also regulated by cyclin-dependent kinase inhibitors. So they are inhibitors of CDK that basically also inhibit CDK function and that also participate in cell cycle. So in cyclins, they are the multi subunit of cyclin CDK complexes. They are cyclin B1, cyclin E, A, and B. And these cyclins, they associate with different CDK, like cyclin B associated with CDK4 and CDK6. Cyclin E associated with CDK2 and cyclin A associated with CDK2. So like that, there is an affinity of these cyclins with different cyclins and then participate in cell cycle progression. So now here you have different phases. So in G1 phase, you have mostly involvement of psychology. And secondly, associate with CDK4 and CDK6. And this process continues when cells decide to cross a certain point. Once you have enough resources completed at this stage by this association and the certain point is across, then you don't need this complex. So this complex dissociates and you have another complex formation, and that's again another cycling. And in CDK, so in this case you have cyclic E and CDK2 associated. And this subject then drive late G1K and some part of the system. So once this part is completed, then cyclic E and CDK2 complex is associated. And then you have the next complex formation that's of cyclic A and CDK2 in the synthesis phase. So like this you have a different phases of cell cycle that have a preferential complex which can be either cyclin B and CDK4-6, or cyclin E CDK2, cyclin A CDK2, or cyclin A CDK1. And then ultimately the complete cell cycle phase. So here again you have in response to mitogenic signal, you means you have increased amount of growth factor either through endogenous sources or through exogenous sources. Once you have continued and sufficient amount of mitogenic signal, that will synthesize sufficient amount of cyclin D and CDK4 and 6 association. And this association becomes active at early G1 phase to late G1 phase, and that drives cells to cross restriction point. And once that cell is at a point, this complex is dissociated, and here you have another complex formation, cyclin E and CDK2, and they form cyclin E CDK2 complex formation. Then again you have a cyclin A and CDK2 complex formation, and then again you finally you have a cyclin A CDK1 and cyclin B CDK1. So these cycles and CDK, their function is always, you can say, maintained, or you can just, we are to checkpoint that they can control the function of cyclin and CDK. And this is called as cyclin dependent kinase inhibitor. So that there are two groups of inhibitors. It can be interfamily of protein, that's P15, P16, 18, and 19. And these interfamily of CDK inhibitor bind with cyclin D associating CDK. So that means cyclin D and CDK4-6 complex will be inhibited by interfamily of an inhibitor. And therefore there will be block interaction, and then ultimately once the block interaction, there is no crossing of restriction point. So if you don't cross restriction point, cells will not enter to active cell phase. Okay. Second group is called CYP and KIP family of inhibitors. So in this one you have P21, P27 and P57. So these CYP and KIP family of CDK inhibitors, they inhibit cyclin A CDK2 complex function, cyclin E CDK2 complex function. And these are involved in later period of cell cycle after G1. And interestingly, CYP and KIP family of proteins, even though they are inhibitors, they stimulate cyclin D1 and CDK4-6 complex. So at one point they are basically stimulating cyclin D6 complex formation, and on the other hand, this CYP and KIP family inhibitors, they are inhibiting cyclin A CDK2 and cyclin E CDK2 complex formation. So, but in normal physiological condition, CYP and KIP family proteins, they do not inhibit cyclin D and CDK complex, CDK4 and 6 complex. So here you have these are interfamily of CDKI, P15, 16, 18, and 19. They interact with the cyclin D and CDK4-6 complexes and block this complex.
When cyclin D CDK4 cis complexes is blocked, what will happen? Cells will not cross restriction point. If cells do not cross restriction point, that means cells will not enter to active cells. They will stop at G1 phase.
So this is very critical phase, you can say, determining phase to enter intercell cells. At the same time, other inhibitors, CYP and KIT, which are P21, P27, and P57, they inhibit function of cyclin E CDK2 complex function, cyclin A CDK2, cyclin A CDK1, and cyclin B CDK2.
So you have these inhibitors, two group of inhibitors, interfamily of inhibitors, CYP and KIT family of inhibitors.
And they basically inhibit not only G1 stage of cell cycle, but also what is that? S and G2 and M phase of cell cycle.
So that means in case some cells already crossed this stage, they will be inhibited with this CYP and KIT, and cells will not complete cell cycle.
Okay. So here you have a P21.
Remember, I told that CYP and KIT are also required for functional activity of cyclin D, CDK4 and 6 complex.
So here you have cyclin D and CDK4 6, cyclin D, CDK4 6, and you have P21, P27,
these are CYP and KIT family of protein that is are required for
other inhibition of other complexes like these two, cyclin E and CDK2, cyclin E and CDK2, but not for CDK4 and 6 and cyclin D. So here they have to stimulate formation of cyclin D and cyclin CDK4 and 6. At the same time, this is going to inhibit function of cyclin E and CDK2 and cyclin in both CYP and KIT.
Okay, so let's say there is a continued addition of growth factor, or there is a continued activation of mitogenic signal that basically leads to enhanced cells in active cell cycle state. How that thing happen?
So here in this case, let's say that in the normal, in the beginning you have only G1 phase. You have a majority of CYP and KIT family inhibitors, they are in dominant state.
And when there is a mitogenic signal, what will happen? You will have synthesis of cyclin D.
So when you have cyclin D synthesized, and when cyclin D become associated with CDK4 and CDK6. So now you see here CYP and KIT also bind to this complex, and you see cyclin D and CDK4.
So early to mid G1 phase,
you have a formation of this complex
that requires CYP and KIT, cyclin D, and CDK4 and 6.
So now here you have a activation of this complex that will lead to synthesis of cyclin E. And at this stage, you have sufficient amount of CYP and KIT that is inhibiting this other phases of cell cycle. When this continues, see here this become active, that synthesizes more cyclin E, CDK2 complexes. And now you have most of the CYP and KIT have been sequestered either by cyclin E CDK4 complexes or by cyclin E and CDK2 complexes.
So now you have exhausted most of the CYP and KIT inhibitors.
So now you have increased amount of cyclin D and CDK4 at late G1 phase, and that ultimately leads to more synthesis of cyclin and CDK2. So by doing that, when you have increased amount of cyclin D and CDK4, cells
have required enough resources to cross the restriction point.
And then at this stage, you don't need any other emission of mitogenic signal. Okay, so here again you have a growth factor addition. You have increased synthesis of first cyclin, the cyclin D, and that goes down, and then some cyclin E, later cyclin A road, and then cyclin D. And here the distance that CYP and KIT, they just activate formation of second leads to deeper fifth complexes, and then this leads to more synthesis that second leads to deeper two, and which are of course limited by sequences. And so again here you have interfering of protein that block CDK4, 6 and cyclin D complexes, where CPNC does it block and other cyclin complexes of this CDK, but not the CDK4 CDK3. In fact, they stimulate this complex.
Okay, so even though we know that we have a lot of mitogenic signals, but these mitogenic signals can be inhibited by other protein, other signaling that kind of suppress cell cycle,
growth. So let's say, for example, if you have there is a need for stop cell cycle, let's say accidental increase of mitogenic signal, and cells decide, oh, you know, this is not time to enter cell cycle. They have another mechanism that comes in picture, that's TGF beta signal.
So when they get a need for, even though there is enough mitogenic signal, cells do not want to enter active cell cycle, they have other mechanisms to stop that.
And what are the mechanisms? You have TGF beta signal. So TGF beta has very strong action on ink family of protein, but weak you can say action on CPNQ. So when there is active TGF beta signaling, what will happen? This is dominant function. So that means you have a lot of CDK4 and CDK3 complex will be highly inhibited because there is a high synthesis of ink family of protein. So once you have the TGF beta very active, this will synthesize high amount of ink family protein and that will block CDK4 and CDK6.
At the same time, this also induces the weaker signaling. Weaker signaling that leads to P21 and CIP and CIP family proteins that also get upregulated. Even though it is not very strongly, but they also get upregulated. So now you have inhibition of CDK4, CDK6. Will that mean D? That means cells will not cross restriction point. If cells will not cross restriction point, cells will not enter to active cell cycle phase.
In addition, if by mistake any cells
already crossed restriction point,
will be inhibited by relatively weak synthesis of P21 and CPNQ.
So in that case, TGF beta takes care of both inhibition pathway, and that ultimately leads to inhibition of the cell cycle. But in cancer cells, or in conditions where there is sufficient amount of mitogenic signal, or you can say there is a continued mitogenic signal that cells cannot control.
So what will happen? So now you have two different signals going side by side. You have TGF beta, the very strong synthesis of ink family protein that will inhibit cells, cyclin D and CDK4 complexes.
Cells will not cross to restriction point.
At the same time, this is also leads to P21 and P27 and P23, and that will also inhibit other phases of cell cycle. But when there is sufficient amount of mitogenic signal, they can actually induce another signaling that will lead to AKT activation, and that will phosphorylate
P21 and P27.
Once P23 are phosphorylated,
they will be exported out from the nucleus,
and that way they can initiate the cell cycle phase. So you will say that because of increased mitogenic signal, the inhibitory function of P21 and P27, CIP and K, will be attenuated, and ultimately you will have some activation of this complex. And then at the same time, when you have these complexes become active, they ultimately overcome this problem. At the same time, when you have a thin mitogenic signal
that will also continue to synthesize cyclin D.
So you have an increased amount of cyclin D and CDK4 complex formation. At the same time, this is inhibiting CIP and CIP.
So now you have this stage become dominant because you have continued
supply of material in signal that will overpower TGF beta signaling and cells will enter to cell cycle, active cell cycle. Okay. So we'll go very how this kind of stepwise step how this happens. So here you have a normal physiological condition.
Most of the time you don't expect cells to undergo continued cell cycle. So what they have various checkpoints.
They have reduced secondary synthesis, they have increased TGF beta signaling, and that and whatever CDK4 and 6 complexes, they are not bound with secondary. And at the same time, CYP and CYP family proteins are also there, and they just inhibit secondary CDK. So in this case, you can say there is no chance cells enter into cell cycle. For the letter next. Now you have, let's say, increased mitogenic signal. Once you have increased mitogenic signal, you have increased synthesis of cyclin D. So now you have more cyclin in the system. And this cyclin then displays into family protein. What are the family? They basically inhibit CDK4-6 complexes, right? So if you remove into family, because there are so many cyclin D here, now cyclin D can bind with CDK4, CDK6 complex, right? And at the same time, you also have this is inhibited, but this is become slowly and slowly become active. Now you have a next stage. So now you have other intent inhibitors in family proteins. They are displaced by increased synthesis of cyclin D. So once you have increased the cyclin D, now they form complexes. And at the same time, CYP and CYP family protein, they also bind with this complex. So make it more active. So now, because this requires CYP and CYP protein to become more active. So now you have cyclin D, CDK4/6 complex in association with CYP and CYP become highly active and induce synthesis of various factors that is important for cell cycle progression. And ultimately you have removed most of the intrafamily protein from the complex. Now you have very active cyclin D CDK4/6 complex with CYP and CYP, and then you have active cyclin D and CDK2 complex. So now we have discussed that cyclin plays a very important role in association with CDK, and CDK inhibitors are, you can say, checkpoints in this process. But how this is regulated at the nucleus level? How is it basically different cyclin D and CDK are synthesized? So then from the next signal that we are discussing is called as ETF or DPAR. So now here, these are, you can say, another checkpoints here you have. So RB is mostly disrupted in the variety of cancer, and this is a major regulator of cell cycle progression, and this also participates in cell death pathway. So the major play in this pathway, you have ETF family of transcription factors, and you have a pocket protein, RB protein, and of course the cyclins and CDKs and inhibitors also involved. So ETF regulatory genes, they are various proteins that is related by ETF transcription factors, and that will also the protein like TME, these are the proteins that will also. So if you see, if you have ETF activation, you have a cyclin E, A, and also you have a CYP and CYP protein. So all these proteins are related by ETF transcription factors. And there are different classes of ETF family proteins that bind with the pocket protein, so they have a pocket protein binding site, and they also have other receptor ETF family of protein, and this protein, basically the main function that we have to pay attention here is the ETF association with pocket protein, means RB protein, that's more glastoma protein. So these are the proteins. They are basically RB is a founding member of retinoblastoma gene product. The other members also have been discovered based on molecular weight. And these pocket proteins, they bind with nuclear and the blast transcriptional activities. And this ultimately leads to gene expression, and that is regulated by RB protein. And the function of pocket protein, RB, is mostly regulated by the status of phosphorylase of that pocket protein. So there are three different, you can say, RB protein, they can be hypophosphorylated state, it can be hyperphosphorylated state, or this can also phosphorylate with the cyclic-CD2 complex. So pocket protein have also a E2F binding site, as expected, because they bind with E2F. Like E2F have binding site, a pocket protein binding site. Similarly, pocket protein also have E2F binding site. And they are mostly, they are three different groups. RB is the major protein that play an important role in regulating E2F function. So DS level is also determined depending upon cell cycle state. So if you look at here in this phase, you have, so let's mostly focus on PRB, as pocket RB protein, this is the main protein we are going to discuss. So in this case, you can say that they are at the G0 phase, they are at lower level, but later they are upregulated, but they are not too much changing in terms of cell cycle failure. Because their function is mostly regulated by phosphorylation status of RB protein. So normally you have E2F that is bind to DNA molecule here, and the pocket protein binding with E2F recruit various DNA-acetylated protein that basically block transcriptional activity of E2F. So that means you don't have a protein synthesis that is required for cell cycle. So here you have pocket protein binding with E2F, suppress E2F transcriptional activity. And because of suppression of E2F transcriptional activity, they either reduce synthesis of protein that is required for cell cycle, or there is no synthesis of protein that is required for cell cycle. And once pocket protein is phosphorylated, how pocket protein are phosphorylated? They are phosphorylated by the CDK and cyclin complex. So let's see here in this cyclin CDK complex, phosphorylated pocket protein. Once pocket protein is phosphorylated, this is loose interaction with E2F. Now E2F is basically free to perform transcriptional activity and include various cofactors that is required for transcriptional activity, and that leads to synthesis of various protein that is important for cell cycle progress. So we go with more details on this. So here you have a E2F binding site on DNA, and because of pocket protein binding, you have a reduced or no transcriptional activity at E2F. In the beginning, very early given phase, you are stacking these CDK4, CYP and CYP formats. So now these proteins, once you have this complex active, they basically phosphorylate pocket protein. And pocket protein, once pocket protein is phosphorylated, so there are different phosphorylation sites on pocket protein. Of course, you don't need all of them to be phosphorylated. So there are, like, I think there are 14 phosphorylation sites. So if there is a phosphorylation of one or two sites, that will kind of disrupt some activity, and that will be dissociated from this. And that will induce some activity of E2F. And later, I say majority of pocket protein site will be phosphorylated. At that stage, pocket protein will lose interaction with E2F. So here you have a very elective function of E2F. Once cyclin D CDK4 complex, CYP and CYP complex, CYP and CYP complex comes in picture, that means very early given phase, that leads to very hypophosphorylation state of pocket protein. And that leads to dissociation of SDAC protein from the DNA, and then activation of the transcription factor. And you have synthesis of cyclin E. So now cyclin E become active. So it's a very
you can say, very slow and steady process.
So once you have saccharin E synthesized, saccharin E associated with CDK2. Now this complex becomes active. And this complex then again phosphorylates various sites in pocket protein to the extent that pocket protein no longer able to interact with P2F. And now E2F is free to recruit various cofactors that is important for transcriptional activity. And once you have fully functional transcriptional activity, you have synthesis of various proteins that is important for cell transcriptional. I think these are the basically different pocket protein and E2F, how they basically interact. And RG protein, they are mutated or deleted, and similarly, these are different changes that we're going to discuss in next week. And we already discussed that cyclin D and other cyclins, they oscillate at different stages of cell cycling, and that determines the status of the cell cycle. And we already discussed that there are different stages, G1 stage, and then you have synthesis stage, G2, and M phase, and then one is just one. So now we will discuss how at different phases you have these complex formulas. So if you imagine very early G1 phase, what happens? So now we start with G0 phase. So that means cells are in quiescent state. There is an increased mitogenic signal, and that leads to even say or even say addition of growth factor. Now growth factor comes in picture, and that leads to so before growth factor comes in picture, the status of E2F and pocket protein are incomplete, and now we don't have any transcriptional activity. Once growth factor is added, this will lead to cyclin D, CDK4/6, and CPL6 complex formation, and that will phosphorylate pocket protein. Now you have pocket protein is phosphorylated, very low, very hypophosphorylated state of pocket protein. And now that will be leads to the mole of dead protein, and that leads to low activity of E2F transcription factor, and we have cyclin E synthesis. So now at mid to late G1 phase, you have cyclin E synthesis that will lead to formation of the complex cyclin E and CDK2, and this complex then again phosphorylate pocket protein, and then that will lead to second stage when cells have sufficiently site of pocket protein is phosphorylated, and that will lead to dissociation of pocket protein from the E2F protein, and now you have a fully functional E2F synthesizing various protein that is important for cell cycle progress. In addition to that, this process is amplified in G1 phase. Why we need amplification phase? Because you have a very high demand to cross the restriction point. In order to cross the restriction point, you have to have basically continuous synthesis of cyclin E, continuous synthesis of E2F, so that you have this amplification that will ultimately lead to crossing restriction point. So in this way you can say once the synthesis is E2F, that will ultimately lead to activation of E2F, then you synthesize E2F protein, this will synthesize cyclin E, this will synthesize cyclin D, and like this you have continued amplification of the event that will ultimately dissociate pocket protein from the complex. Okay, so now mid to late stage here. So at this phase, you have a pocket protein already dissociated, and you have a fully functional E2F transcriptionality. And at the same time, you also have a cyclin E CDK2 complex. So, in order to cross the restriction point, as we discussed, we have mitogenic signal, cyclin D CDK4 association, leads to certain insensitivity. At the same time, this complex particular leads pocket protein and pocket protein will dissociate, and but it's still in hypophosphorylated state at least, and then ultimately you have certain ECBK2 complex that actually leads to hyperphosphorylation of pocket protein, and that leads to you can say later stage of cell cycle. So now you have an S6. So once you cross restriction point and you have sufficiently phosphorylated pocket protein that no mammal is able to bind into your body. Later you have less in synthesis state, you have less complex formation, and this complex formation that also phosphorylates into your body, because now you don't need anything. So this process has to be repeated in the sequential format. So once you have sufficient amount of resources that is required for cell cycle progression, ETF needs to be dissociated from the DNA molecule so that cells can accumulate all the resources required for next stage of cell. So now at this stage you have a phosphorylation of ETF also, and now ETF dissociates from DNA, then basically you and that also later it is translocated to the carboxylic acid. So here in this stage very clear, early to mid G1 phase, you have the pocket protein is in hypophosphorylated state and still bound with ETF. At late G phase, pocket protein is already hyperphosphorylated state and you have very fully functional ETF protein. And in S stage, pocket protein is still in hyperphosphorylated state. And you don't have any issue of, because ETF also phosphorylated. That means you don't need ETF at this stage. Okay, so early to mid J2 phase. So now you have a, in the G2 phase, you have a continued pocket protein, they are still phosphorylated, and other CDK, they are also phosphorylated. So, cells want to maintain pocket protein in hyperphosphorylated state, so that they won't bind with new ETF1. That's the one to maintain this one. Later, when you go to M phase, later M phase. So now here in this case, there is another event happening. So pocket protein is now dephosphorylated because cells want to start for the next phase of next cell cycle. So they already finished, let's say G1 phase, M phase, and they go into G2 phase. Now they already completed all the resources that are required for cells to complete cell division. Now they want to start the next participate in next cell cycle. So in order to do that, pocket protein need to be dephosphorylated so that pocket protein can bind with E2F. Because at this stage we don't know whether cells going to intercell cycle or cells going to enter quiescent state. So if cells want to enter to quiescent state, you have to have resources that will basically block cells to enter to cell cycle, right? So that is why you need dephosphorylated pocket proteins, so that pocket protein can bind with E2F again. And once E2F and pocket protein bind, now you have again, you can say, inhibition of transcriptional activity. So at that stage, even you have cells are divided, they are at the G0 phase, and now cells have time to decide whether they want to enter active cell cycle again, or they continue to quiescent state. If cells decide to continue to quiescent state, they already have all the resources for them to, so they don't need to do anything. But if they need to again enter cell cycle state, then again this process will be repeated. So here you have pocket protein dephosphorylated, and again you have a formation of this kind. So you have pocket protein binding with E2F, and then again you have a recruitment of HDAC, and this basically leads to inhibition of transcriptional activity. So, and then you come back again to IgG1. So, to put it very simple way, you have a G1 phase. At this stage, they very low, or you can say the limited number of RG protein is phosphorylated, that is not sufficient to affect binding with E2F function. So that in the beginning you have already, you can say, highly hyperphosphorylated state. In late G1 it becomes still hyperphosphorylated state, but it's sufficient to basically activate E2F function, and that ultimately leads to RG in hyperphosphorylated, and then maintain until the E2F state, and later it becomes dephosphorylated. And in this process, you have at hyperphosphorylated state, you have RB, so you can say CDK4, CDK6, that will be complex, they basically phosphorylate pocket protein, and that leads to some ETF activity, and this pocket protein then again phosphorylated by CDK2, that will be complexes, and then keep RB protein, or you can say pocket protein, in hyper phosphorylated state until you have dephosphorylation of pocket. And this process I think that we discussed, so you have again here you have a hyperphosphorylated state, hyper and then ultimately dephosphorylated, and then complete result. And throughout this process, even though these are the kind of chain of events, there is always simplification of you can say single that happen at this point, especially when you have fully functional ETF, the basically activate ETF, the QH CDK stacking become, and the QH stacking so that they can overcome restriction point and maintain cycling E and CDK2 complexes that can phosphorylate or keep packet protein in hyper phosphorylated state. So there are various ways you can detect whether cells are in active stage of cell cycle or not. So one way is to basically detect is basically you can determine the level of protein. So if you, let's say, transition from G1, so let's say G0 phase, so in this case, what will happen? You have high level of inhibitor, INK and C5Q, you know? So P27, I mean, they are high at GUH stage. And once cells in the cell cycle, the level reduces, and ultimately you have a progression of cell cycle. RB mostly hyperphosphorylated, and then ultimately phosphorylated. And these are the other, and secondly, at the G0 phase, it's at the low, and later at the early G phase, becomes, yes.
The amount of PRP is increased while you go through the cycle. Is that a negative factor?
You mean RB increased?
Not the phosphorylation, but the actual production of the protein.
Okay. So what happened basically is RB protein is not, you can say, not too much different, but it's still upregulated. So once you have high level of RB, because even though you do have RB protein that is needed for this lesser process. Let's say, for example, you have a lot of E2F, and so how this is required, there is always checkpoint. So cells always want to inhibit any cell cycle proliferation state. So they always want to synthesize various protein that is important for cells to stop cell proliferation. So that way you can say that you do have some increase of RB, even though they may or may not be phosphorylated. The main function is that once RB is phosphorylated, it cannot bind with ETF. So I think that's the key point we have to pay attention. Even though you may have a high level of RB, and even if you have high level of RB, especially in two cancer cells, they may be mutated, so they may not be functional as well. Okay? So now, similarly, you can determine that it's cells going to D0 phase. So here again you have a level of different protein that can actually can be determined.
Of course these are the kind of prediction, not always can be true, because it all depends upon cell type and also depend upon the status of mitogenic signal.
So the various things can determine the level of these proteins.
But overall, let's say you have high level of cyclin G, that means cells are either in active G1 phase, or they preparing for active G1, preparing for this to enter the cell cycle phase.
So, and if you are hyperphosphorylated at PRB, that means cells already have undergone, let's say, you can say, cell cycle phase.
This is basically, if you look at one cell point, they have, and when you do the measurement in multiple cells, it's very hard to find which cells in what state, unless you do the analysis in single cell. So these, even though these can be used as a kind of idea about what's going on in the cells, I like cell phase, but this may not represent that cells are actually in active cell cycle phase or in G0 phase.
So I think that I will be happy today. So next week we will discuss about how these cell cycle parameters can be defective and how cancer cells overcome this process at the escape point and ultimately leads to the proliferation. So do you guys have any questions for today's lecture? Yes.
What dephosphorylates RB?
So it's called that there are various proteins of PP1, and there are also kind of dephosphorylation gene is definitely the pathway RB to the WHS. Yeah. Okay. So we'll see you next week again, and if you have any questions, you can come back.